Blog Talk Radio.
ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay. I wasn't watching the time, and it seems like I let the beginning of the show kind of disappear on me before I could even get to it, but I am now here, and we are getting ready to start the show for today, the 28th of October. It doesn't seem like October should be even close to over with yet, even here for that matter. But we are here, and the problem with being here as we are now, we're running behind. So I will get started. This story that I have for today's monologue for the day is from Breitbart, as usual. And it's something, though this one happens in the EU, it's coming here. If we don't watch out and put a stop to illegals coming into this country, we need to listen and then beware of the true future if we don't stop it. A Pakistani man suspected of having killed around 70 people in his homeland has been arrested in Hungary among a large group of migrants trying to break into Europe. Police in the Central European nation arrested the 35-year-old alleged hitman. Now, this man is 35 years old, and he's accused of killing up to 70 people. Even on most serial killers, that's more than most of them can brag about, but that is not neither here nor there. But the police in the Central European nation arrested the 35-year-old alleged hitman, who is wanted by Interpol, on Tuesday when officers stopped a crowd of illegal immigrants near the border with Serbia, Reuters reports. Austrian authorities said in a statement that the arrest was made after the detectives from the nation's Federal Criminal Police Office, BK, received a tip-off that the man was heading for Austria and informed colleagues in Hungary. Identified only by the initials of AZ, the suspect is a hitman known as the Pakistani Butcher, who, according to Austrian police, is accused of committing around 70 contract killings in his homeland, one of the South Asian nation's most wanted criminals, according to the local media. The man had turned his hand to people smuggling since the beginning of Europe's migrant crisis. This case once again shows the importance of international cooperation in combating crime. I can only congratulate the Austrian investigators on this success, said Austria's Interior Minister Wolfgang Sobotka. In the next few days, authorities in Austria will be deciding on whether or not to deport the suspect to Pakistan, OE24 reported. Now, I am also in the process here of seeing if I can get the chat room opened up. Usually it causes me all kinds of problems, but hopefully this week it'll come up, which it hasn't over the past 8 or 9 weeks that I've been doing this show, and I really am not holding my breath on this one, but I'm still hoping, as I have it trying to open right now. So the chat room is trying, and if not, I'm going to have to go the other route. But the European Union, the EU human rights legislation barring member states from deporting migrants to countries where they may face the death penalty has resulted in a trend in which an increasing number of illegal immigrants from the third world nations with capital punishment confessing to murder in Europe, whether guilty or not. Scrutinized and condemned by Brussels for his hardline stance on mass migration, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban warned in 2015 that illegal immigrants flooding into Europe could turn the continent into a battleground. Now, this is what I've been saying for a long time now, but it seems no one was listening. Now, some are listening, but we have to get our government to listen and allow President Trump to build that wall. Just saying, we will protect our borders and the Hungarian people from criminals, terrorists, and illegal immigrants, the prime minister promised. Hungary's border protection measures, which effectively cut illegal migration by 99%. Now, get this, folks, it does work. But they were attacked last month by the United Nations, or the UN, which blasted the Central European nation's border walls for looking insufficiently welcoming. On this one, the UN is wrong. Of course, lately they've been that a lot. Folks, that is the problem. Central European border nations' border walls are not supposed to look welcoming in times like these. The welcome is there for legals, but people who are coming in to cause terror and problems for the country, no. And that is what we need to start doing in this country, because this type of person, the one that killed 70 people in the UN or EU or in his homeland, is coming here. Don't doubt me on this. As long as we keep our borders welcoming and open to everyone, they will come. It's like the show The Natural, where the man would hear a voice that said, build it and they will come. Well, with our border, if we don't build the wall, they will come. And sadly, folks, some probably are already here. And actually, that's not a probably. It is true. They are here. And that's the problem. They're here, but our government is not acknowledging that fact. And we are not immune to this. We are not too big to bring down. And the thing that I use on my blog and my updates daily, we will not be ruled, is a good motto to live by. If you want to continue living with your freedoms and your liberties, if you don't believe that way, then you will be ruled and not in the way you want. Mark my words. I wish nothing but the worst for the ideology of the Islamic faith, which is nothing but a pedophile-led group of murderers. And I'm sorry if that offends, but I am beyond offending now. I am to the point where my country's safety is paramount, and I don't care. The line, may thy blade chip and shatter, that I used at the end of my monologue last week, applies. If they come at us with their blades, may they chip and shatter while ours stay strong and together. The eagle will rule and we will stay free. We will not be ruled. Period. Now, NWCR is honored to be back, and so is Conservative Nation Media. We welcome you all to the show on this, the 28th day of October, in the year of our Lord 2017, for this 338th or 39th episode of the show, and thank you all for listening. And we're glad you're here. I had my stuff all in order here, and it had a tendency to be to move around and not be where I want it to be. So some of my audio will not be where I want it to be, so it'll take a little bit longer to find it. But, hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. Here we go.
Roger that. News sources. That there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to Hour 1 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back with the show. We're still working on trying to get the chat room open. It doesn't look like it's going to be opening, so we're going to have to probably do it in a different way, which is not the way that we want to, but it's going to make it a little harder for me to go ahead and be able to monitor the chat room like I like to do it. But the chat room doesn't look like it's going to be opening because it just is sitting there and just not doing a darn thing. So I'm opening up another window here. The chat room is now logging in. And here we go, we've got the chat room and I put a little beach front thing on there, so all you people in the cold areas like me today, we've got rather cold temperatures here. It's like in the about 39 degrees outside. I think our high today was 40 or something like that. But the chat room is now open, though I will not be right here all the time to keep it there. Hopefully it will be there for a while, and hopefully I can get to it every once in a while, and I'll check it every couple of minutes to make sure that I have what we need, and if somebody comes in, of course. So welcome to the show.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Okay, from the New York Post and written by Amanda Woods is a story of total depravity, and people like this should be put to death with no mercy in the death at all. And this couple is horrible. And before I even go any farther, I want to let you guys know that I was going to do a two-hour show today. But because of the things that are going on around here at the house, and like a lot of you who listen to my daily updates know that on yesterday and the day before, my wife was in the hospital for heart surgery. They had to kill a few nerves that were causing problems, and so they lasered them to death. And she's here at the house now. Well, actually, she might not be. I think my youngest stepdaughter, who is now driving, so everybody who's out on the roads, be careful. She's out there now. She wanted to take my wife out to dinner. I was not invited, so I guess that meant that I was supposed to stay here and do the show. But they're out, probably out to get something to eat, and I'm here doing the show. So this article from the New York Post is this. A depraved British couple who sexually assaulted a young girl and live streamed their abuse over Skype to a California pedophile will face a combined 17 years in the slammer, authorities said. Amen to that. It should be a hell of a lot longer than that. But Sarah Gotham, 34, and Craig Forbes, 36, of Devon, or Devon, were sentenced before Plymouth Crown Court on Thursday after being found guilty of multiple sexual assaults against the girl, who is under the age of 13, local police said in a statement. The duo assaulted the girl, who is believed to have been drugged at the time, on numerous occasions and broadcast the abuse between December of 2012 and March 2013, the police said. The perverted pair struck up a friendship with pedophile Corey Ellis, 42, of San Francisco, through a chat room that connects people with common interests, according to the police. They then connected on Skype, where they live-streamed their abuse of the young girl, the authorities said. Ellis opened up about Gotham and Forbes after San Francisco cops and the FBI busted her in April of 2015, authorities said. She told officers that she had witnessed the couple abusing the girl via Skype under the name Sarah Girls Only. During her trial, Ellis pleaded guilty to the production of the innocent images or indecent images of children, and indecent they were, and they always will be. Investigators found more than 64 pages of graphic chat logs between Ellis, Gotham, and Forbes, police said. Gotham, who had been on trial for the past 8 weeks, denied 6 offenses, while Forbes had earlier pleaded guilty to 4. Forbes also was convicted on a separate offense of making indecent images of children and breaching a sexual harm prevention order. Gotham faces 9 years behind bars, and Forbes was sentenced to 8 years in the slammer. Ellis was flown to the UK for the trial, accompanied by 4 FBI officers to give evidence against Gotham, the BBC reported. Prosecutors said Gotham played an active part in the abuse and was more than a spectator or a passenger, according to the report. Judge Ian Lowry said he believed Gotham was under Forbes' spell and had been corrupted by him. Forbes is manipulative, devious, and is unquestionably interested in child pornography, and from everything I have read and heard, a clear and constant threat to children, Lowry said, according to the BBC. But he told Gotham, that does not excuse your responsibility for the offenses. Nicholas Lewin, defending Gotham, blamed the incidents on Forbes' influence, calling him the vilest of predatory pedophiles. Now, here is my idea on this one. The court said Forbes is manipulative, devious, as an unquestionably interested in child pornography, and from everything I've heard and read, a clear and constant threat to children. Now, he was sentenced to 8 years. Now, if he is a clear and constant threat to children, shouldn't he have been sentenced for the rest of his freaking life? Because if he's a clear and constant offense to children, he's going to be the same when he gets out now, isn't he? Just saying that that is where a lot of our judicial policies now that have been kind of watered down by these mamby-pamby wannabe people who think that these people who do this are only victims and they only do it because they're victims of something else. No, they're not victims of anything but their own behavior, period. And unless they start figuring out ways to make these people stop this, they need to spend the rest of their ever-loving lives in jail. And if they don't want to do that, then put them to death, because there's nothing better than a pedophile who has been taken out of circulation permanently, period. From Kathy Hinner's new book comes this one, and I'll let you know that we are already waiting too long. The chapter is, Are Americans Willing to Submit to Islam? Are you? You already are, part one. We Americans are on the path to our own demise. The free world was jolted off of theirs first on January 7, 2015, with the massacre of journalists in Paris, France, and then again on November 15th, where 139 were slaughtered as they attended various recreational activities. What will it take for us to take back the reins of our own destiny? We are at war. If our own government won't identify the enemy, it is time for Americans to do so and call it what it is: Islam. Islam means submission. Are Americans willing to submit without a fight? The four stages of Islamic conquest clearly define the enemy and its goal for each phase, and these I have talked about and mentioned on my show here and on my blog many times, but because it is really important for us to know. Unfortunately, America has already succumbed to two. Keep in mind, nearly every conflict in the world involves Islam threatening native populations. And that's something that we are not even, our governments aren't even thinking about it this way. But they need to start. And here are some of the things going on, okay? Stage one, infiltration. This one's already happened. Muslims are moving into non-Muslim countries in increasing numbers, and the beginning of cultural conflicts are visible but often subtle, like the appeal for humanitarian tolerance from the host society, being that so many Middle Easterners are arriving in the U.S. from violent regions. Here they found safe refuge, hence the victim status was given to many. Today they still embrace victimhood. Attempts to portray Islam as a peaceful religion and Muslims as victims of misunderstanding and racism, even though Islam is not a race. History clearly shows Islam and its prophet to be violent. In the Quran, there are two periods through which Muhammad went. The one which Muslims always refer to is the brief time Muhammad was peaceful, the Mecca era, and remained that way until his death. His actions and words are articulated in the Sunnah and the Hadiths, which he commands good Muslims to obey. Good Muslims must follow example which were ultimately violent. High Muslim birth rates in host countries increase Muslim population. The only way to ensure the world can return to a pure form is to establish the caliphate where Islam and its law, Sharia, are superior. Therefore, there must be a majority of Muslims, which can only occur with high birth rates. Somalis may have 4 to 8 children. Mosques used to spread Islam and dislike of host country and culture. Mosques and now Islamic centers are no longer just for prayer, but rather community centers providing services for the Muslim community. However, historically, mosques were used for military operations and were where Muhammad issued his fatwas or legal rulings. Mosques were and are still the center for radicalization, i.e. the Islamic Center of Nashville, Tennessee, was the center of radicalization for Carlos Bledsoe, a.k.a. Abdul Hakim Mujahid Muhammad. There he received training by the imam of the same name and later shot and killed Army recruiter Sergeant Andy Long in Arkansas, all in the name of Islam. Calls to criminalize Islamophobia as a hate crime. The rise of people across the world disagreeing and refusing to submit to the demands of Muslims has led Islamists, particularly in the U.S. where we have freedom of speech, to coin a phrase, Islamophobia, in hopes of instilling fear in those that speak the truth about Islam. After all, no one wants to be labeled or called a name. However, here in America, it is being taken quite seriously with the current administration, or Obama's actually, including the Department of Justice, actually considering a UN Resolution 1618 called the Defamation of Religion Law. Now, do you people remember this one? Because it did happen. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was part of a series of meetings with the OIC, or the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, at http://oicun.org, which has drafted laws pertaining to the criminalization of speaking out against religions, but particularly Islam, is very dangerous. Threatened legal action for perceived discrimination. Current an organization called CARE, or Council on American Islamic Relations, which was founded and is leading the charge for jihad lawfare, repeatedly and continuously filing frivolous lawsuits against anyone, businesses, schools, law enforcement, the military, and individuals, is causing the backlog and disruption of our legal and civil law system. This is all done in the hopes those institutions or individuals will eventually give in and allow whatever demands the Muslims are making. And people, you don't believe it, but they are making them. Mark my words, they are making them. Being that it is also becomes a financial drain to fight these, are set even sooner. Currently, CARE is suing the United States Navy for not allowing a Muslim to wear his beard. Now, see how they're trying to change everything? I mean, if a Muslim is in the United States Navy, it's not the Muslim Navy. It's not Islam Navy. It's the United States Navy. And if he wants to be in the United States Navy, then he has to abide by the rules. But that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is doing everything that they possibly can to change the rules so they fit their rules. That's where that one's coming from. Offers of interfaith dialogue to indoctrinate non-Muslims. The goal of every good Muslim is to convert non-Muslims or kafirs, non-believers or infidels, to Islam. Interfaith forums have become the most popular way for Islamists to perform dawah, which is an obligation under their doctrine. Typically, these forums will feature panels of leaders from different faiths. And I just lost my place, but that's from different faiths, but always will include a Christian or a Jew, where they will each deliver the message of commonality. However, anyone that knows the Quran knows of its violence and questions the statement from the co-founder of CARE. Islam isn't in America, and this is the statement of the co-founder of CARE now. Islam is not in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Unquote. It is not allowed to be a panelist. Questions regarding any of the Quran's contradictions are always met with elusive, often scrambled answers. Over a year ago, the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, hosted a forum called God's Books, which, oddly enough, featured a renewed, self-described, documented member of the Muslim Brotherhood, Jamal Badawi. Stage one laid a foundation for which the Muslim tested our constitution, our laws, and us as a people. The mere fact that we have arrived at stage two means that we are failing. And that's not a good thing. We will be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, tail wagging, backyard hanging, and of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a Lavish Terrier Hound Chihuahua looking kind of mix. tremendous, Dalton. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky. Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
Okay, we are back. From Breitbart comes this one. The biggest, all the lies put out by global warming scaremongers that it's on their side. No, it isn't. And if you're in any doubt at all, you should read this interview or listen to this interview with the brilliant scientist Istvan Marko, and it tells you all you need to know about the science of global warming. Dr. Marko, who sadly died earlier this year, aged only 61, was a professor and researcher in organic chemistry in the Université Catholique de Louvain, Belgium's largest French-speaking university. More importantly, for the purposes of this interview, he was one of the world's most outspoken and well-informed climate skeptics who contributed to several articles on the subject for Breitbart News. Before he died, he gave an extensive interview to the French journalist Grégoire Canelorbi. Here are highlights of the English translation. As you'll see, he doesn't pull his punches. CO2 is not and never has been a poison. Each of our exhalations from each of our breaths emits an astronomical quantity of CO2 proportionate to that in the atmosphere, some 40,000 ppm, some plus or minus 40,000 ppm, and it is very clear that the air we expire does not kill anyone standing in front of us. What must be understood, besides, is that CO2 is the elementary food of plants. Without CO2, there would be no plants, and without plants, there would be no oxygen, and therefore no humans. Plants love CO2, and that's why the planet is greening. Plants need CO2, water, and daylight. These are the mechanisms of photosynthesis to generate the sugars that will provide them with the staple food and building blocks. That fundamental act of botany is one of the primary reasons why anyone who is sincerely committed to the preservation of the natural world should abstain from demonizing CO2. Over the last 30 years, there has been a gradual increase in the CO2 level. But what is also observed is that despite deforestation, the planet's vegetation has grown by about 20%. And this is something the lamestream lying media and the kooks are on the left, who are supposedly scientists like, Al Gore, those idiots who don't really know what they're saying, but they say it anyway. That's what they're, this is something they will not push on their people because they know it doesn't fit their agenda. But what is also observed is that despite deforestation, the planet's vegetation has grown by about 20%. This expansion of vegetation on the planet, nature lovers largely owe it to the increase in the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere. There have been periods where CO2 concentration was many times higher than it is now. Life thrived. During the Jurassic, Triassic, and so on, the CO2 level rose to values sometimes of the order of 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 ppm, which considerably exceeds the paltry 400 ppm that we have today. Only did life exist in those far-off times when CO2 was so present in large concentration in the atmosphere, but plants such as ferns commonly attain heights of 25 meters, reciprocally far from benefiting the current vegetation, the reduction of presence of CO2 in the atmosphere would be likely to compromise the health and even the survival of numerous plants. To fall below the threshold of 280 or 240 ppm would plainly lead to the extinction of a large variety of our vegetal species. Animals need CO2 also. And by the way, forests are not the lungs of the earth. In addition, our relentless crusade to reduce CO2 could be more harmful to nature, as plants are not the only organisms to base their nutrition on CO2. Phytoplankton species also feed on CO2, using carbon from CO2 as a building unit and releasing oxygen. By the way, it is worth remembering that 70% of the oxygen present today in the atmosphere comes from phytoplankton, not trees. Contrary to common belief, it is not the forests, but the oceans that can constitute the lungs of the earth. It is also not true that CO2 has a major greenhouse effect. Reports of its influence have been exaggerated. It is worth remembering here, too, that CO2 is a minor gas. Today, it represents only 0.04% of the composition of air, and its greenhouse effect is attributed to the value of 1. The major greenhouse gas in the atmosphere is water vapor, which is 10 times more potent than CO2 in its greenhouse effect. Water vapor is present in a proportion of 2% in the atmosphere. Those facts are in principle taught at school and at universities, but one still manages to incriminate CO2 alongside this learning in using a dirty trick that presents the warming effect of CO2 as minor but exacerbated through feedback loops by other greenhouse effects. Climate change is natural. over the last 12,000 years, what we have witnessed as an oscillation between warm and cold periods, thus periods with rising and declining sea levels. Incontestably, sea and ocean levels have been on the rise since the end of the Little Ice Age that took place approximately from the beginning of the 14th century until the end of the 19th century. At the end of that period, global temperatures started to rise. That being said, the recorded rise is 0.8 degrees Celsius and is, therefore, nothing extraordinary. If the temperature goes up, ocean water obviously dilates and some glaciers recede. This is something glaciers have always done, and not a specificity of our time. Don't worry about shrinking glaciers. We've been there before. In ancient Roman times, glaciers were much smaller than the ones we have nowadays. I invite the reader to look at the documents dating back to the days of Hannibal, who managed to cross the Alps with his elephants because he did not encounter ice on his way to Rome, except during a snowstorm just before arriving on the Italian plain. Today, you could no longer make Hannibal's journey. He proved to be capable of such an exploit precisely because it was warmer in Roman times. Sea level rise is normal. Sea levels are currently on the rise, but this is an overestimated phenomenon. The recorded rise is 1.5 millimeters per year, namely 1.5 centimeters every 10 years, and is therefore not dramatic at all. Indeed, it does happen that entire islands do get engulfed, but 99% of the cases, that is due to a classic erosion phenomenon and not to the rising sea levels. As far as the Italian city of Venice is concerned, the fact that it has been faced with water challenges is not due to any rise in the lagoon level and is just the manifestation of a sad reality that the city of the Doges is sinking under its weight on the marshland. Once again, the global sea and ocean levels are rising, but the threat effectively represented by that phenomenon is far from being tangible. I note that the Tuvalu Islands, whose engulfment was previously announced as imminent, not only have not been engulfed, but have seen their own sea land level rise with respect to that of the waters around them. The island shores are eroded by persistent pounding of the ocean waves. This is perceived as sinking or as sea level rise, but upward creep of the water is due to the island's soil being washed away. Polar caps are fine too. Still, another phenomenon we tend to exaggerate is the melting of the polar caps. The quantity of ice in the Arctic has not gone down for over 10 years. One may well witness from one year to another the ice level fluctuations, but on average, that level has remained constant. Right after the Little Ice Age, since the temperature went up, the Arctic started to melt. But when the ice level of the Arctic finally settled down, besides, the ice has been expanding in Antarctica over the last 30 years. And similarly, we observed in Greenland that the quantity of ice increased by 12 million cubic kilometers last year. On a global scale, glaciers account for peanuts, with most of the ice being located in Antarctica and so on. And this is something that I have also mentioned. When the Arctic melts, the Antarctic gains. When the Antarctic melts, the Arctic gains. It's been that way since the beginning of time, folks. It just amazes me. It says extreme weather events are actually decreasing. From storms to tornadoes, extreme events are going down all across the world, and when they occur, their level is much lower too, as explained by MIT physicist Richard Lindzen. The reduction of temperature differential between the North Hemisphere, the equatorial part of the climatic energy much smaller. The importance and frequency of extreme events thus tend to decrease. Recent warming is modest, much smaller than the alarmist various computer models predicted. If you look at satellite data and weather balloon measurements, you would then note that the temperature rise around the world is relatively modest, and that is much lower than the rise that is predicted for us by the authorities, and that these predictions rely on calculations that are highly uncertain. This is because the simulation inputs cannot take into account past temperatures for which there is no precision data, except by subjectively adjusting is known. The recent temperature spikes measured by satellite balloons are part of a classic natural phenomenon called the El Niño. This short-term phenomenon consists of a return to very warm waters at the surface of the equatorial Pacific Ocean. The heat thus liberated in the atmosphere pushes up the global temperature, and CO2 plays no role in that process. Claims by alarmist experts in 2016 was that the hottest year ever are pure balderdash. World Meteorological Organization, another emanation of the United Nations, and which is also like the IPCC, an intergovernmental forum, declares 2016 the year the warmest of history, knowing that 2016 is supposedly hotter by 0.02 degrees Celsius than 2015, and that the margin of error in this value is 0.1%. 0.1 Celsius. We see the absurdity of this statement. For those who don't understand, this means the variation in temperature can be of plus 0.12 degrees Celsius in global warming or minus 0.8 degrees Celsius global cooling. In short, we can't say anything. IMO has simply lost its mind. No climate change hasn't led to climate-related diseases are relatively rare, and even malaria does not directly depend on the climate, but rather on the way that we enable the parasite to reproduce and the mosquito to flourish in the place where we are located. If you find yourself in a swampy area, the odds you will get malaria are high. If you have drained the system and you no longer have that wetland, the odds you will catch the disease are very low. In the end, automatically blaming the resurgence of some disease on climate change comes down to removing the personal responsibility from people involved, such as denying that their refusal of vaccinations, for instance, or their lack of hygiene may be part of the problem. Again, CO2 is greening the planet, and that's a good thing. So stop demonizing it. Present deserts, far from expanding, are receding, and they are receding due to the higher quantity of CO2 available in the air. It turns out that greenhouse operators voluntarily inject three times as much CO2 in the commercial greenhouse as it is present in the atmosphere. The result we can observe is that plants grow faster and are bigger, and they are more resistant to diseases and to destructive insects, and that their photosynthesis is way more efficient, and that way, and that they can therefore consume less water. Similarly, the rise of CO2 level in the atmosphere makes plants need less water so they can afford to colonize arid regions. Finally, a scientist tells it like it is, something I have been drumming into my readers' minds for years now. It's about time, and we will be right back after these messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
When you need to know what America stands for, Conservative Nation Media will let you know. The Second Amendment is taught here, along with why it needs to stay. Okay, since I was kind of goofing around and I did these this break just before the top of the hour, I am not sure. I started this show with the idea that it was only going to be like 1 hour long, because for all intents purposes here, my studio right now has no heat. And it is like 38 degrees outside, and right now it's warm in here, but it's getting colder outside. I can feel it. I'm trying to keep it warm in here with a heat lamp, which really doesn't work that well, but it does keep it a little warmer. But this show was only slated here to be here for an hour today, and so therefore I pretty much have covered everything that I was going to cover today. I haven't had anybody come into the chat room. I've got people who come in here for the second hour, but since there is no second hour today, and it's actually too late to change that to become 2 hours, I'm going to go ahead and close out the show today for today. And I will be back next week. I don't have to worry about the weather next week because it's supposed to be 65 degrees next week. So that will cause me no troubles for this, for doing the show out here. But I am in the process of trying to get me a heater that can be used out here. And because the one I've got cannot be used when the door is closed because it's a kerosene heater and you need ventilation for that, and I don't got that in here, so it really can't be used. I essentially used it to heat it up in here, then I shut it off, and I turned on the heat lamp, and so far it really has worked a little bit, but I do feel the coolness starting to come in. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show today. Sorry that nobody came into the chat room. I hope that people will listen to this show because I put out a lot of good information today, you know, from global warming to the Islamic problems that we have moving into this country and why it needs to be stopped and why President Trump's idea of building a wall has to be done. Because if we don't do this, folks, this nation is not going to last. Mark my words here. I hope that all of you guys have a great week. I hope that you have a great time this week. I hope this week goes good for everyone. And I will be seeing you again next week. And as I'm always saying here, we will not be ruled. And I will see you next week. Have yourself a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here, Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking his fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll be like the whole dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gone. Like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
God bless you all.